Good morning. I'm so happy to see so many beautiful faces. And it's lovely. It's fresh. It's nice. And some of us I haven't seen for a while, so I'm really excited. So very happy to see everybody. And our pastor is not here, so I am preaching on his behalf. And I feel very privileged and honored to share a message with you. And I just want to start off by saying I'm not anybody special or talented on preaching anything. I'm just like each one of us, you know, just sharing the good news. What'd you say? Amen? Amen. Amen. We can all share good news, and we could all be a witness to others. And, you know, last week I had a lot of hair, so I cut it just for you guys. Shaved and everything, too. So hopefully that is extra bonus for you all. Anyways, my topic today is not about relationships, because many were wondering if I'm going to do a relationship topic. No, I'm not. But next time, maybe. Our topic today, that I titled Reigniting Our Passion for Witnessing. What is it, everyone? Reigniting Our Passion for Witnessing. And that's the title. It's a serious message, and it's a message that I feel it's the right time for us to share for our church, for ourselves, and our lives. And even this message is for myself as well. So let's. Can you join me for a quick prayer? Father in heaven, Lord, I ask that you bless your words, Lord. May you be glorified, and may we do your work and help. We ask for your Holy Spirit to reignite our hearts to be passionate about sharing the gospel to others. In your name we pray, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, witnessing is very simple. Witnessing is you are a witness to others. You're sharing the gospel. You're sharing the good news to other people. And there's a time I heard of this lady who talked to another lady, and she said, you know, I used to have a real burden for souls, but I've learned, you know, not to let it bother me, and I just don't think about it anymore. You know, she was a busy church worker, and all of the people around her, her Christian friends, thought well of her. But do you think she is thought well of by God? I mean, we are called to do witnessing. And I could relate to her because there are times in our witnessing and sharing other, we were on fire, and sometimes that fire goes down and we get tired, we get discouraged, and then, you know, we kind of don't think about witnessing anymore. But God is calling us to reignite our fire, and that's the message I have today. Our church, our pastor has asked us to do evangelistic series each month, and I think that's a great plan. Like this month is Vietnamese, or last month Vietnamese, then English, then Vietnamese, English, etc. I think that's a great plan because it gets everybody involved. And I don't know about you, but I'm really tired of our church not fulfilling our role in this community. I'm not saying our church is a bad church, but I'm saying we need to do more. Amen? We need to be the light to shine to the city. You know, yeah, we go to church weekly, and we're comfortable. We enjoy our Sabbath as it is, but we need to go beyond and make more efforts of reaching people because we're comfortable, yes, but we need to reach more people. Think about it. If we're going to have the mission center, what is the point of the mission center if these people are not even full? We're going to make a big room, but we don't have enough people, and that's the message. I'm not saying anything bad. I'm just sharing you that we, as a church, we need to do more for this community because if we're honest with ourselves, we're not doing a lot to reach out to the people around us, and I'm also guilty of that as well. So that's why I'm sharing this message, hopefully to reignite our fire, reignite our passion for witnessing to others. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 16, and then we'll start with that verse. And just so you know, tonight is the Seeker Sabbath, and the topic deals with end of the world in 2012. I hope you all can come because, you know, people in the East Coast right now, they're wondering, this never happened to them. You know, earthquake, they don't have earthquake there. Hurricane and tornado and earthquake, what does it mean? What does all these signs mean? Well, tonight, come on by, and we're going to look into that and see how that is. Is that okay? Amen? All right, I'll see you tonight. You guys said amen. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 9. You guys there?
Yes.
All right. It's in the New Testament, chapter 9, verse 16. Chapter 9, verse 16. And it says, "For if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of, for necessity is laid upon me. See, preaching the gospel is necessary. But yes, woe is to me if I do what? If I do not preach the gospel. Woe is unto me if I do not preach the gospel. It is an error to suppose that the work of saving others depends on the ordained minister alone or the pastor. It's not just Pastor Vin. It's each one of us. For this work, that's why the church has been established. And all of us who takes the vow of pledging ourselves to be co-worker with Christ ought to be the same. See, whatever your calling in life is, your first interest should be winning others for Christ. Amen? You may be an accountant. You may be a nurse. You may be a doctor, an engineer, a programmer. But your occupation is soul winning. Amen? Amen? You could be whatever, but your main purpose is to win souls in that workplace and wherever it is. See, when you chose to accept Christ into your life as your Savior, you were given a mission in life. God has given every Christian a job, a duty, a responsibility to command and go and preach to others. That is the Great Commission in Matthew 28. Let's go there. I'll share with you Matthew 28, verse 19. Matthew's in the New Testament. Verse 28, verse 19. When you're there, can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Verse 28, 19. And it says, go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of age. This is the Great Commission. When you think of the word Great Commission, you break it down to co-mission. A co, like cooperation. Think about it. He wants us to be co-workers with him. When you think of co-worker, how many people does it involve? At least two, right? You can't be co-worker and me, you know, like yourself. No, co-worker is two people cooperating with each other. And so this is God's mission, commission to work with us. So remember, you're always a witness everywhere you go. You could be a student in disguise, but you're a witness. Amen. You could go to the office and be a doctor, but you're a witness, all right? So don't think you're just that. You're more than that. You're more to the other people around you, and God has called you to be that. So you'd be dentist, nursing, accounting. They're all good, okay? So we're not able to, like, share with a lot of people in the congregation, but we could work with individuals one-on-one. See, near and far off around our church area, there are people weighed down by guilt. What did I say? Weighed down by guilt. It's not hardship. It's not being poor or poverty that degrades humanity. It's guilt, wrongdoing. And Christ wants his servants, us, to minister to the sin-sickened heart people. That's why we need to minister to those who are hurting. You think there's somebody in this neighborhood. Do you think there's somebody who needs hope today? Yes? You think somebody that's hurting today because of their guilt, we need to go to them. I know what bitterness is like. I know what depression is like. And you know it too, I'm pretty sure. And you know there are people who needs the great hope. And that's what my message is trying to say. I'm trying to reignite our passion for witnessing to others as a church, as an individual, and as a whole. A lot of times people have they're very good at hiding their pain and the burdens. And that's why they don't want to be open. There are times we go door to door. Like, I don't know this person. I introduce myself. We're from the church. And can we pray for you? She don't know me, but she's open. And she says, you know, my sister passed away last week. Or something happened. They're open to spiritual things. They may not know you, but you can show them to know God. Amen? And that's what I'm calling us as a church to do. We cannot do it on our own, but we know the answer. We know the solution. Amen? You see, on our church wall, what does it say right there in Matthew 11:28? Come unto me, all that are labor, and they're tired, and are heavy laden. They're heavy hearted. There's so much on their heart. They're stressed and so much on their shoulder. And God says, what? I will give you rest. You guys And all of us here have the privilege of knowing God, and he gives us a peace and rest. But how many more people that also needs that? Our pews needs to be full, and then so is our mission center. And that's why I'm calling out for us to continue what we're doing and even more. I know how it is, going door to door. Oh, I'm tired. It's like 2:30. You know, like I want to take a Sabbath nap, you know. I know how it is, because sometimes I complain, like, I'm tired, I don't want to go, you know. Like, seriously? Like, okay, let's go. So, no, but brothers and sisters, every time I go, it's a blessing, because, you know, when you go there and you're tired at the beginning, but once you do it, you put yourself in their shoe. You see, you're complaining about your tire, right? And you have so much trouble. Yeah, right. Look at some people that have more trouble. They're the condition they're in. And you put yourself in their shoe. And when I see that, I feel blessed, because I'm like thinking, why am I complaining? The Lord has been good, so good to me. Why am I complaining? Amen? And so there are people, whether we feel like it or we don't, you should consistently give out the gospel. See, in a battle, we're in the battle for souls of men. And soldiers, they can't stop fighting in the battlefield just because they don't feel like fighting. You know, they got to keep on fighting. The battle is on. And God has chosen us to be soldiers for him. Amen? You can't just stop. Oh, I don't feel like fighting today. And Simon knows, he's a veteran. And so, you know, right? It's a battle. We have to finish all the way until the end. And so you can't stop because you don't feel like it. You're tired. And so God says there's enough of getting by soldiers, people in the back, and kind of like, no, I don't want to do too much. But God is looking for loyal frontline troops who will give themselves wholeheartedly to the task at hand and telling others the good news of salvation. What do you say? Amen. But we have a problem, brothers and sisters. Let's look at the problem. Matthew chapter 9, verse 37. Matthew chapter 9, verse 37. We know all this. We know what we ought to do. But yet, here's the dilemma. Chapter 9, verse 37. It says, the harvest is truly what, everyone? Plentiful. There's a lot of people out there. It's ready. The harvest is ready. But the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Our community, we have so much out there that's ready, but we only have a few people. I understand you drive far and it took you hours to get here. That's our church. I understand that. But even when we're here, let's make some effort, at least a little bit, to go out and reach to somebody out in the community. And the message is not my regular, you know, fun relationship message, because it's a serious message. Because the message, I feel, it's for our church in this time. 2013 is coming up. We want to start to build people for the mission center. Amen? That's why I want to really share this message. And evangelistic series, we're going to do it every month. So the more people we need, the more workers we need, and the more prepared we need to be as a church. And so you see, our church as a mission center could be like the home field headquarters. And this is where we can plan strategic ideas and execute them before going out to the neighborhoods of the community. We'll win some and we'll lose some. But just like any sport, like basketball or something, you win some, you lose some. But we keep playing until the end. Amen? You don't quit in the middle of the game and say, we lost like 5 points. Nah, you guys, third quarter, go ahead. You know, you keep playing until the end, whether you win or lose. Amen? Just like the gospel, we are out there. We'll lose a lot, but we'll win some, and that's all worth it. So don't let the times when we don't see any fruits discourage us. When you plant a tree, you're not going to see a fruit for how many years? Like 2 years or something? Like, come on. You know, you might get discouraged. Like, grow. You water more. And then when you water so much more, what happened? My dad, he complains, like, don't water too much. That's too much water. I was like, okay. Yeah. Like, I think if I water enough, that it will grow faster. But he said, no. They have to have enough water for the day, and next day you come back and forth, okay? So I learned that. I didn't know that. But again, we don't see the fruits of our work. But God said, keep going. Plant seeds. Amen? Don't worry about what happens later. Just do what we know what we need to do. So we try and try again and over and over. And at times we hear great testimonies of other churches, how their story, life-changing, God has worked in their life. And we wonder, how come we don't see those things in our church? And how come we don't see those miracles in our life? The simple reason is this, friends. It's because we're not doing anything much to have those experiences at our church. Are we going to leave the community to the Mormons? Are we going to leave the community to the Jehovah Witnesses and others to go out? Do you believe we have a unique message? Amen? We have a unique message, but we need to share those messages. If we don't share them, others will. And so, young people, we need your energy, and we need your creativity, your ideas, and your willpower. And elder people, we still need your advice. We still need your wisdom, and we still need your input of telling us what is a good plan and what is a bad plan. You have more experiences, and so that's why we still need you. With all of us working together, regardless of age, we can make effective our church an effective place, a refuge for everybody around here. See, our church ought to be a place where they can come to, a second home. A lot of people, they might not have a nice home. Their father, their mother, angry, trouble, shouting, screaming. They need a place to go to, and that's what our church needs to be. God's house has been a hospital for sinners, and we are privileged to be here, yes, but there are people who are broken, and they get tired of living where they live, and that's where our church needs to be called to be in this community. What do you say about that? Amen? That's what our church is called to be, and we need to do that. So let's put aside our biases, differences, and get involved. Ask to be a volunteer to whatever we're doing. Don't wait until we call you like, can you help out with this? Like, we really feel like we don't want to bother you too. That's why you need to go and volunteer yourself. Hey, is there something I could help with? That's awesome, you know? If you don't like how the church is the way it is, give your input. Do something. Be the example. Amen? Because we're trying to do what we can, but then we need more people to input and work together. Because we have the same goal, the same purpose, and there should be no division among us. In Acts 1, verse 8. Let's go there. I'm almost finished. One more verse after this. Acts 1, chapter 8. Acts chapter 1, verse 28. See, we cannot blame God, you know, we can't witness and blame him, because this is his few last words before he left. And he says what? But ye shall receive power when the, what everyone? Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be, oh, I can't hear everybody. No. Again? All right, you be witnesses to me in where? In El Monte? Uh-huh. All right, be witness in El Monte, in San Gabriel, in Baldwin Park, and all of San Gabriel Valley, and Pasadena, and all the end of the earth. Amen? Amen? That God has given us, the Holy Spirit, to empower us. And at times, we already have the power, but we don't seem to want to use that power. We need to pray more for the Holy Spirit as a church in unity. And because I believe when we stand later on before the Lord Jesus Christ, every Christian will wish he could take back the times he neglected and start witnessing as he should have while on earth. But at that time, it might be too late. Now is the time to witness. Amen. Let's do it now. We don't have a lot of time. Seriously. We're so distracted with other things, and we're building up what we want to do here. But what's more important? What other important work can you do to the people around us? I always think about, it's weird, okay, but I think about my funeral. Not like creepy, but the people around there, what would they think of me, right? don't get all scary now. Halloween pass. Anyways, my funeral, what would people say? You say, oh, Vong, help me with my homework. Yeah, totally. That, you know, or he helped me got me some food. Those are great things. But what I want to give them, what I want to give them is the knowledge and the gift of Jesus Christ. Amen. That's the best gift you could give somebody. I really sincere. There's nothing greater. I don't believe there's anything. Things will perish. You know, you give them a car, it'll break down. But you give them the living God, the gift of life, that will last for eternal ages. Amen? Amen. And when you do that, there is no greater joy than leading a person to Jesus Christ. San Gabriel Academy students, international student, or you may not know this, but it's a joy each time we see your face here at church. I mean, we might be tired, but we don't show it. But it's a joy when we see your faces. Amen. And that's why it's a joy when we introduce someone and win them to Christ. Not only us, we are joyful, but the heaven says one sinner turns to God, the whole angel celebrates just for that one person. It's one of the many fruits we get from promises that God has. And not only that, we have the peace of mind that we're knowing that we're doing God's work that he commanded us to. And he promises a reward for the souls of the winner. Let's go to the final text, Daniel chapter 12. And this is the final text. Daniel is in the Old Testament. Daniel chapter 12 is the last chapter. Can you say amen? Amen? Amen. Last one. Promise. I know you're all hungry. Me too. All right. Chapter 12, verse 3. Chapter 12, verse 3. And it says, those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament. And those who turn many to righteousness, those who were witnesses and turn many to Jesus Christ, turn many to righteousness will like the stars forever and ever. Basically, God will shine. That person, you know, in the Bible it says, when we get to heaven, the amount of people we have shown to Christ, he puts a jewel or a star on the crown. It's beautiful. And you will shine in all the ages. Look, I can't force you to witness or win soul. But just like salvation is voluntary. Remember when you first understood the salvation message, you had to decide to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. And so service and witnessing is also, you must decide if salvation of souls is worth disciplining your life, because it does take some discipline. We must decide to be volunteer. We must decide ourselves to go out there. And we also, when we first started, we started the walk with God. We started this marathon, and we probably start the race really well. And you were passionate. You were on fire for God. And something happened along the way, you know. In the Christian walk, you slowed down. You got tired. You got discouraged. You took a long break. And then you started up again, and you find yourself in your old ways again. But I tell you today, you keep racing. You race all the way until the end. Amen? Amen? Race all the way. Don't give up because somebody rejected you. Don't give up because they slammed the door in your face and says, no, I don't like Christianity. Don't give up. There's another person. There's more door. Come on. So you keep winning the race. Keep racing until the end. Going forward, whether you're sprinting, you're jogging, you're jumping, you're walking, you're crawling, it doesn't matter. It's not too important how you start. It's not too important what happened during the journey. It's more important how you end, amen? More important how you finish the race. And guess what? How much joy will you have when you could bring others along with you to the finish line, amen? You don't want to, when you finish the finish line, yeah, just me. You know, it's so boring. You want to bring others with you. You're like, yeah, come on, guys. You know, keep it up. Encourage, and all of you win. You win, we all win, amen? Finish the race and bring people to the finish line. Our message again, I'm finishing up. Reigniting our passion for witnessing. Some of us lost it. Some of us have forgotten what it is to have that joy in Christ. Some of us know what we need to do and not do it, and we've forgotten the ways. Go and make disciples. Go out there. At your workplace, at home, at In your class, your teacher, people need to know who God is. That's the best gift you can give them. Don't worry about the consequences. Leave it to God. He'll take care of it. Just do what you can and what you know what to do with what you know. Amen? So I hope you are reigniting your passion for witnessing. Be a witness. I don't know about you. This message is, again, for me also. I've not been the way I want to be, but I want to change. And I want to recommit myself with God and be a witness for Him. There's no other thing that is important in this world than be a witness for Christ. Hurricane Sandy came this week. Some people thought they'll be okay. Maybe they lost their life. Some people thought they have a lot of time and they built up their stuff. They work so hard for something and it just goes away. It's trash. Their beautiful homes perish in seconds. So, like, again, what is it all worth? So we don't have a lot of time as well. We're privileged here that we don't have the hurricane here. But still, there's not a lot of time. So I feel to recommit myself and reignite my passion for witnessing. Is there anyone else that wants to recommit themselves to God and reignite your fire? If you don't know God, trust me. Knowing God is the best knowledge you could have. You can put your hand down, it's all good. Knowing God is... I can't describe it because there's this peace in the midst of the storm. In the midst of the earthquake, the hurricane, you can still trust God. When people let you down and you can't trust them, when family discourage you, when your relationship is broken, there's nowhere else you can turn to but God. And He will comfort you. And I just want to leave that invitation to you to accept God today before you walk out. Let us pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we praise your name, Lord. We thank you that you have a plan for each one of our life. Lord, forgive us if we messed up where we are. Forgive us if at times we know what we need to do and we ignore your voice. And people come into our life and encourage us and we push them away. People share Jesus with us and we also push them away and we don't want to hear it. We ignore it. We distract ourselves with the media and other things of this world. But Lord, we know things can be gone in an instant, today or tomorrow. And tomorrow is not even guaranteed. And we thank you that you've given us life. So Lord, forgive us. Reignite our fire. We've lost it. And we want to be committed to you in your ways. And if we are somewhat on fire on you, Lord, help us to be much more on fire for you. Be committed for ourselves and our lives and for this church as well. If we're building a mission center, Lord, and we don't have a mission in life, there is no point of calling it a mission center if there's no mission for this church in this community. Our church needs to be the light, and it's time to step up each one of our games, Lord. We ask that you strengthen us, and we plead for the Holy Spirit to be in this church. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.